and more of who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, is my mic on? It is on, isn't it? Since we got this whole new system, sound system, it's a different sound up here. I'm still getting used to it. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 5. Don't anybody look? Does anybody remember who Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 5 is without looking? No, I didn't think so. So we'll find out what Exodus 31, verses 1 through 5 says here. Everybody got it as page 75 on your Bible that's on your chairs. I have no idea what page number it is for you all at home. But this is what Exodus 31, verse 1 through 5 says. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts." Okay, let's put that in a little context. I'm going to keep reading. We'll be looking at 1 through 5, but let me keep reading. "Moreover, I have appointed Oliab, son of that guy, Ahismach, the tribe of Dan, to help him also. I have also given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the covenant of the law with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and all its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, and the utensils and the basin with the stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you." So kids, how do you, again, we're in the series on work, and particularly I'm aiming it to the kind of the fifth, the kids through, you know, fifth grade through 20, whatever, you know, somewhere in that. Some of you older kids, you might get something out of it too. How do you respond to the question, what are you going to do when you grow up? Now, some of you might respond, "I have to grow up." Yes, you have to grow up. It's going to happen. Age happens. You can't stop it. So yes, you have to grow up. But the question is really aimed at, as you're growing up and becoming a mature adult who contributes to the society and contributes to the kingdom of God, how is God going to use you? So the question of what do you want to be when you grow up is not simply about picking a job and saying, "I'm going to do that and go do it." It's a question of discernment. Maybe the question, "What do I want to be when I grow up?" could be better asked, "What has God created and designed me to do to make a contribution to his world?" To unpack that, we need to understand two things. First, we need to understand how it is that God designs people, how it is that he designs us and uses us and calls us to make a contribution in his world and his kingdom. And then the next question is, how do we discern that in ourselves? So, first of all, in Exodus 31, we read that God chose Bezalel. Anybody remember reading about Bezalel before? Some of us have read through all of Scripture. I know I've read through it a couple times. And Bezalel is like, if you would have asked me, you know, the Bible quiz, okay, where is Bezalel found? I would have had no clue. But Bezalel was chosen by God. And what did we read about Bezalel? He said God's filled him with the Holy Spirit, with skill and ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. So here's Bezalel being the perfect person at the moment that God wanted to use him to get something done. Mere coincidence that Bezalel was the one who was creative, who could work with wood, who could work with stone, who could work with metal, who could do all kinds of crafts, and not only be creative to do these things, but have the abilities and the skills that were developed to be able to. Was this just happenstance that Bezalel just happened to be there when God was looking? It's like, I really need somebody to make all this stuff for the tabernacle. I wonder who might be able to help me with that. No, God chose Bezalel, gifted him for the job that he had to do, for the detailed and very important work of furnishing the tabernacle. Bezalel might be an obscure character in the Old Testament, but certainly not obscure in God's eyes. God gifted him for what he wanted to do, but when we get to this point in Scripture in Exodus 31, Bezalel didn't just all of a sudden pop on in the scene and God had given him abilities. We're going to assume, I think correctly, that all of his life he had been working on developing these skills and honing his craft and working out how to deal with the difficulties of metalworking and the woodworking and the different kinds of wood. And all of that goes into that. He had developed this. He'd taken the gifts that God gave him through his years of learning and years of experience, and it was just by sheer chance that it was right there at that time. No, of course not. Frederick Buechner has a great quote about this. He says, God calls you to the kind of work that you need most to do and that the world needs to have done. The place God calls you, the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Bezalel fits this description. He was given what God needed to, and as we read, the Holy Spirit filled him with these things so that God could use him at the spot where he wanted him at that time. If that's true of Bezalel, I would assume that'd be true of us as well, right? God gifts us for what he wants us to do. How God has created us, how God has created you, how God has wired you, in the sense, to use our terminology today, how God's wired you makes a difference with what he's calling you to do. Our work is a gift from God, but we have been gifted for our work that he calls us to. God created us and gifted us, gives us the human dispositions that we have. Our personality is not just happenstance. Our interests shape our vocation. Work is not just to go out and earn a living, to bring a paycheck home to pay your bills. God gives us work, as we saw last week before the fall, to give us fulfillment and meaning. And we're gifted to do a particular work. We're equipped to make our contribution to his world. So how do we do that? How does God do that? How does God make us? Well, the first thing that we'll see is God gives us spiritual gifts. Verse 3, it says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. What is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a gift that God gives us, an ability or a talent or something, with the purpose of using for his kingdom. We're going to look at talents in just a minute. But spiritual gifts are used for the building of his kingdom, to give him glory. So Tom read earlier some of the listing of the gifts. Things such as administration and discernment, evangelism, faith, giving, hospitality, leadership, mercy, prophecy, serving, teaching, wisdom. And there are many others. I don't think that's an exhaustive list in Scripture. I don't think Scripture gives us an exhaustive list and this is it and that's all there is. But the gifts that God gives us and the abilities to use for his kingdom and to make a difference in glorifying God in this world. He gives us talents. Talents are given for a whole bunch of other things. You can see people have a whole bunch of different talents. People have talents for music, for art, for drawing, for building, athletics, physical strength. There's lots of different talents. Talents, regardless of belief. We see all around the world that people who are close to God have talents and people who are far from God have talents. God gives talents to everybody. He gives spiritual gifts to those who put their faith and trust in Christ Jesus. And he supernaturally gives these things so that we can make a difference in his kingdom. Followers of Jesus have spiritual gifts. Everybody has talents at some level. And so he gives us these talents, a natural ability, a combination, and it could come across genetically. We all know people who have natural abilities in arts or math or music or different things, and we look at it and it's like, yeah, you got that from your parents. We can see that. It just runs in the family. They grow up in a family, and they grow up, and what do? They play music together. Or they play games and like they love trivia and so you can see the family resemblance. But there are times where God just gives a talent to somebody because later in life, after they hone it and develop it, God's going to use it. Like, where did that talent come from? Like, I have no idea. Caitlin can play basketball. People ask me, does she get your athletic ability from you? It's like, uh-uh, nor her mother. I have no idea where she got her athletic ability. It ain't from either of us. But God gives talents for us to use them. And he gives abilities. Abilities are a little different than talents. I'm really splitting hairs here on this one. But abilities to do things where we have like fine motor skills. Some people have fine motor skills and can do stuff with their hands. Some people think logically and orderly and can organize well. Some people can think creatively and imagine things and see things out of things that nobody else would see. Michelangelo, when he's making David, somebody asked him about that, and he said, "Well, it was in there. I'm just bringing it out of the marble." Like, really? I see nothing. I see a big chunk of rock, and he saw that. God gives different abilities, and he gives us different interests. This is in your notes. I added this one Friday afternoon. He gives different interests because when we look at spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities, we could have similar talents and abilities and spiritual gifts, but we might have completely different interests. When I drive my truck around, what's on the radio is dependent upon who's in the truck with me. If Kyle's in the truck with me, we're listening to jazz. If the rest of my family's in the truck with me, we're listening to CCM. If I'm by myself, I'm listening to ESPN. None of my kids really like listening to ESPN with me when I'm driving around. They don't. Kyle and I love jazz. If we have jazz on with Jason, he's like, "Can you change that?" So we all have different interests. All in one family, completely different interests. Did this just happen this way? No. God designs us differently. And our interests make a difference in what God calls us to do in our lives. So you can have two people who like to work with their hands, who like to be creative and create things, but have vastly different interests. One could be an artist and a painter. The other one could be a baker creating great food. Or you could have two creative, adventurous people with completely different interests. One could be an outdoor nature photographer and hike up to 10,000 feet at the top of a mountain just to get a picture. And another could bring people outdoors to help them with their emotional healing and their personal healing as a counselor. Similar abilities, similar talents, different interests. Or you could have two logically, orderly thinking people, and one could be a school administrator, and one could be a construction foreman. Similar talents, similar abilities, completely different interests that bring them down a completely different road. God calls us each to something. I want to talk just for a few minutes about that word call. Oftentimes when we think about calling, we think about, were you called to ministry? And we think about it in religious, churchy terms, right? But God calls us each to something. It's not a church word. It's not just you were called to be a pastor and I'm just doing that. No, people are called to do different things. And so God calls us to ministry. God calls us to mathematics. God calls us to science. God calls us to sales. God wires us in different ways and calls us to that. And when we understand the connection between God's design for us and how he wired us with spiritual gifts and talents and abilities and interests, And what he has to do, has calls us to do, we see that God designs each of us differently for the work that he wants to do. Frederick Buechner says, to believe that a wise and good God is in charge of things implies there is a fit between the things that need doing and the person I'm meant to be. So then the question is, how do I discern that for myself? That point gets to discerning. He says, verse 3 said, I have chosen Bezalel and have filled him with all the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, knowledge, and all kinds of crafts. Did Bezalel know what he was supposed to do in his life when he was 10 years old? Maybe. Did he have to figure it out and try a whole bunch of different things as he was growing up and figuring out, oh, this is what I really like? Maybe. Part of our discerning of God, how God made us, is asking the question of how did God design me? Again, going back to abilities and gifts and talents and spiritual gifts. What do you love doing? What would you do if you didn't even get paid for it? You say, you're not going to get paid for that, but I want you to do that. Would you like, yeah, I can do that? Or like, I don't think so. What is it that you don't like doing? What is it if somebody asks you to do this, like, oh, no. And it just drains you. So it's understanding, how has God designed you? What has God given you interest for? It takes a little bit of effort. It takes a little bit of self-reflection. It takes a little bit of sitting down and saying, okay, what is it that I like doing? What is it that fits and what God's calling me to do? It takes some experimenting and trying different things out. Makes a difference what kind of personality you have, too. You got to think about that. Are you an extrovert or are you introvert? If you're an extrovert, you probably love the idea of maybe doing sales. Getting out there, talking to people, telling them about the product, doing that. If you're an introvert, the idea of sales is debilitating. Like, no, I don't think so. Just let me do the computer input behind the scenes. I don't want to talk to anybody if I don't have to. Or mechanic work. If you're in the back of the car, you're probably, I'm making a generalization here, but just go with me on this one. An introvert who's just like, I don't want to work the front desk where I have to talk to every customer that's in the door. Some people like that, some people don't. So how has God wired you? Another question to ask is, what life experiences have shaped me? Where have you been involved in? What have you liked doing? What piques your interest? If you were to say, I'm going to sign up for this club at school, which ones would it be? Why is it that you sign up for this one and not that one? Well, it's because God wires us differently. It's not just happenstance. And part of discerning is listening to what wise counselors say. Is asking parents, asking friends, asking people at church, what do you think? Discernment is done in community. Discernment is rarely done alone, because when we try to discern just by ourselves, we tend to be blinded by our own prejudices. We tend to be blinded by our own thoughts and our own ideas. We tend to be blinded by things that we think are important in our own ideas. But when we invite other people into the process of discerning, and when we ask them, what do you think, and are actually open and honest and will listen, that helps us to figure things out. It helps us to see ourselves for who we are. And when you're in a loving community with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they say, I don't think so, you have a choice to make. You have a choice to say, I'm going to do my own thing anyways. I don't care what you think. Or you have a choice to say, okay, I'll think about that one and reflect on it. And maybe we can talk about that a little more later. When it comes to jobs, if I had said in high school that I'm going to become a math major and go into actuarial sciences, first you'd have to tell me what actuarial sciences is, because I really don't have the slightest clue. But anybody around me would have said, John, you really are not gifted to do that. You can barely do 2 + 3 = 6. I mean, really, that's... math is not my thing. I can't even help Caitlin and Kyle with algebra. That's why they call Don Welko. It's like, you have a question? It's like, call Don. It's fine. Just call Don. I have no idea. He'll help you. Part of understanding is, how has God wired us? Listening to the wise counsel of others, trusted people that you know, who've lived life a little longer than you have and learned lessons the hard way. Because learned lessons the hard way are some of the best lessons to listen to. Then comes our decision. I guess I don't have a slide for that one. When we make a decision, know that it's not a final decision. You don't have to make a decision at 18 years old or at 47 years old that what you're going to do for the rest of your life you're stuck with. Things change. Is there a single specific path that God expects you to pursue, requiring that you identify it when you're 17 years old and when you're 65, you better retire in that same thing? Probably not. Because along the line, God gives us freedom to choose. When we understand our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our spiritual giftedness, God calls us to a whole bunch of different areas that we can pursue. And he gives us freedom to do it. There may be more than one right answer for the career path that you have, that's before you. And it may be when you get to 47, you look back, it's like, I never expected to end up there. But know that as you gain experience, as you grow, calling evolves, life evolves, interests change, and God opens new doors. When thinking about work, understanding God's calling, understanding how you're created with your spiritual gifts, your talents, your abilities, your interests, your experience, with discerning through yourself and discerning with others, you can live into how God has created you. That's when we discover work that fits rather than work that gives us fits. Let's pray. God, as I stand here and bring this message and just looking around at the different faces here, it's amazing to see the different gifts and abilities that you've given, the different talents and the different interests. None of us here in this small gathering, and none of those that are on Facebook with us, have been created exactly alike by you. We are all different. God, I give you thanks for creating us just the way you made us and giving us the gifts and abilities and then calling us to what you have us to do. God, I pray for the kids who are just beginning this journey of life and discerning and trying to figure out, God, what have you made me to do and what do you have for me in your world and your kingdom? God, I pray for wisdom. I pray for discernment. I pray for friends and family to come around and to speak into their lives. God, I pray for just the courage to follow where you're leading. To be able to say, God, this is what I want. I think what you have for me, and step into that. God, oftentimes we find in our lives that's a long journey. And there's other detours along the way. And so, God, may we, each of us, do what we need to do to give you glory in all that you've called us to do. God, thank you for the way you've wired us. And give us discernment, God, so that we can give you glory in the work that you've called us to. Amen.